Okay, we are on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph towards the bottom of the page. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom of Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. Last two words in line are Ushmuel Amar. So the Gemara had said that they said Bei Rav in the name of Rav, that the halachas like Rabbi Yossi in Androgynous and Harkava. And Shmuel said we pass in like Rabbi Yossi in Koshi and Kiddush. So we talked about the first two examples. Now we're talking about Shmuel Amar B'Koshi V'Kiddush. Koshi, this now, what are we talking about with Koshi? Kama Yehe Kishuya. What is Kishuya? So Rashi, look at Rashi on the right side. Kama Yehe Kishuya. The Kaim Alam B'Nida D'Araisa HaMekashe B'Soch Yud Alav Shebe Nida L'Nida. Let's say a woman, we mentioned before this idea of, without getting into the many days long conversation about Nida and Zava, etc. But the bottom line is that Mida Raisan today, the halakha l'maisa doesn't really matter so much. But the dinda raisa is that a woman has 7 nida days and then 11 ones called ziva days. And it's only when you have ziva days that you have to wait. You have to count zayin nikiyim afterwards. Technically, just woman sees blood during her 7 nida days, she just waits till those 7 days are over. But if you say 3 days of bleeding during the ziva days, then you have to wait zayin nikiyim. Okay, today, Lamaisa, women that came always, after any time they become what we call a nida. But the bottom line is, v'ro adam gimbal yame mitzufim rachma tsar vlada eina bali de ziva. Right, so in this case, what's unique here is that let's say the woman is bleeding, not because, or the reason she's bleeding is because she's like sort of in labor already, right? But we have to see what this means. We're talking about 40 or 50 days before she gives birth, but sort of that she's in like labor in a certain sense. And that's the reason why she's bleeding. So if that's true, ain't a bali de ziva li yo sricha sphere sign nikim, ki yoletis bezuf. Meaning, technically, that a woman who would have all this bleeding, but it was all because she was already in labor in a certain sense, so that then even if she starts bleeding, when she's done, she doesn't have to count Zayin Nikiyim because she was never really a Zava, because all the bleeding was because of her, the experience of labor. Fine. So the question really becomes, if you look at the bottom of Rashi, that Rashi, V'kam Yehe Kishuya, Dermina Machmas Vlad, meaning how long back can we say, oh, that wasn't really her bleeding during her, you know, because of she's a Zava, that was really just because of her labor. It's labor bleeding, it's different, right? So how far back can you go, right? Is that like if it was the day before she gave birth? Is it 10 days? Is it whatever? So that's the machlokas that the Gemara is going to bring up right now. So back in the Gemara, Shmuel Amar B'Koshi V'Kiddush Koshi Ditznan Kami HaKishuya. How long is this time where we can say it's from the Kishoy? It's from the challenges of the childbirth that the bleeding is happening, not because of the reason that she's really a Zava. Omer Omer O Arbayim O Chamishim Yom. It can be 40 or 50 days. Meaning before she has the baby. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and you're only going to know when she has the baby how many days before it was, right? Obviously, right? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it's not like from the due date, right? It's from when she actually has the baby. And we're going to have to look back afterwards and say, oh, how many days before that was she actually bleeding, right? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Daya Chodsha. Rabbi Yehuda said, well, let's within 1 month of her, meaning what would have been the 9th month. It's during the 9th month, so I can say, you know, at least I can say maybe this is part of the process of eventually, you know, going into labor. But 50 days, that's a little too far back. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Ein Kisha Yossi Mishtei Shabbosos. So now you have Rabbi Yossi, right? And Rabbi Yossi again paired with his Barzug, Rabbi Shimon, right? That, no, that, 2 weeks. If it's 2 weeks before, okay, so maybe that really has to do with labor. More than that, sorry, that must be Zava. Fine. So that's the Machlokas, and that's where Rabbi Shmuel says we pass like Rabbi Yossi, that's 2 weeks. Kiddush. What are we talking about? Kiddush? So we're not talking about Kiddush. What do we mean? We talk about the word Kiddush, which means things become separated, right? Because of something that's forbidden about them. This non-Mishnah says, HaMesachech Gefano Al Gabe Tvuas or Shal Chaveiro. Let's say you took your Zalach of Kelayim, right? Let's say I took my vine and I placed it over someone else's Tvuas, someone else's produce, right? And then what's going to end up happening is that Tefuah becomes now forbidden because the two of them grow together and now it becomes kilayim. So let's say you did that. Hareze kidesh, right? V'chayiv v'achayusa. You've now made that your other person's produce now begins. So it's wheat, it's barley, it's whatever it is, and you've now made it into you now made it into kilayim, and chai b'achrus, you got to pay. You got to pay the money, right? Because you forbade his. You made his. Obviously, you made your vine forbidden, and you made his whatever other item it was forbidden. Because you now combined the two, you did it to yourself, and you did it to him. And you got to pay for it. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Ein Adam Oser Davar She'Eino Shelo. Yosi, Rabbi Shimon say, no, you can't forbid someone else's stuff. Meaning in a positive way, the fact that you decided to make his wheat into a mixture of wheat and grapes, that's your problem. But that doesn't forbid him, which is a very difficult thing to say. What do you mean you can't forbid someone else's thing? If I take milk and I put it in your cholent, I made it bas b'chal, right? So look at Taisus in the top, right? In Adam Oser, Adavar She'inu Shalos. So Taisus says, Im Tomer, Ma'ash Nami, Nose Nevela, O Chilev, B'tav Shoshal Chaveru, Sheneser. What do you mean? If I take something that's not kosher and put it in your lunch, it makes it forbidden. I don't care. It's not nice. But I can't impact your item. Of course I can. Wow. Right? So the Re says that's only in cases. This whole rule ain't adam oser davar she'eino shelo is when there's something that the only way it becomes forbidden is by way of my mindset. Kigon mishtachav el behemas chaver. Let's say, for example, somebody bows down to my cow. This is my cow that gives me milk and cheese and everything, right? And you bow down to it and made it avodah zarah. So halacha is, you don't aser my cow. Right? I don't become aser. My cow has become aser because of you. Why? Because it depends on my machshava. Now, filu aser b'maisa, you're going to shechta, right? Even if you did something, you shechted it, etc. Ikleman damar the law, so you don't forbid it. You didn't forbid it at all. And the iser kilayim nami talib machshava, and the iser of kilayim also depends on my mindset. Okay? We wouldn't have thought that. Kilayim, we just think it's, If it catches, it catches. If it doesn't, it doesn't. The answer is no. Even kilayim is that way. It depends on what my mindset is. Because the Amr Mesechas kilayim, Gabi Haroi, Yerek, you see something growing. You say, Kishe Agia Alakten. You say, it's growing too close. When I get there, I'm going to pull it up. Right? I feel the Hosef Masayim Mutter. Right? Even though it actually grows together, it doesn't matter. If I had mind to go grab it as soon as I would be there, it actually, the fact that I wanted to take it out makes it not become kilayim. Right, but you say lechasha achzor elaktenu. So anyway, when I get back, I'll take care of it. Then aser, then it becomes forbidden. Right, umitam zem farish rabbeinu tam to nakat behagozel, and rabbeinu tam says for this reason, the case of nisayish hemena velo gadra, right, dafka nisayish. The Gemara talks about a case where if I leave it alone, I say, forget about it. I'm not going to touch it. I'll just leave it there. It'll grow however it's going to grow. So the Gemara says that's specifically when you leave it alone. Avalonis Yaish, if you haven't given up, Shaya Osek Begeder, you're trying to make a fence, you're trying to separate the two, Velo Hispik Ligdor, Ad Shehos of Masayim Lo Kiddush. If you were trying to separate them and you failed, but you were trying to, it makes it not kilayim. Fascinating. So that this idea of Einam Adam Oser, Dabash, Einam Shalom applies even by kilayim, because kilayim also depends on what your mindset is.
But that can't be halacha l'maaseh, because we're always worried about what other people are going to think.
Ah.
Right? So it can't be. That's how we would pass.
Okay, it's a good question. What's going to happen with the Maris Ayin and something that looks like his client? But a lot of times, like,
the concept is interesting. But
we'll have to, yeah, when we learn, when we learn Chulin. Okay. So the Chulin Daf Mem, you'll bring us back, right? The Chulin Daf Mem, you'll bring us back, and we'll see. I don't know how many. I'll have a lot more, even more gray hairs than I have now. But we'll see. Okay, good. But yeah, but Lamaisa, that's true. It's a true concept when it comes to client, which I think is probably something that we never would have thought of before. Okay, next.
It's only for
there are other concepts like that also. There can be other areas that depend on machshava that is like the case of making someone else an avodah zarah. If I bow down to your car, you can still drive your car. Right? It doesn't matter. Right? The fact that I turned into avodah zarah doesn't make a difference, right? Okay. Ibailu. Okay, next question. Ibailu bandroganis mali. Right. So they basically asked now, I got it. I now know what Shmuel holds. Vandroganus Mali Amar Shmuel. Basically, I know what Shmuel holds he holds like Rabbi Yossi by Koshi and Kiddush, right? But what is he going to hold about the other two cases, right? How's he going to pass it by the Androgynous case? Is he like a Zachar L'chol Davar? Is he just a Suffolk, right? So Tashma, the Amar Shmuel, the Rav Anan. So Shmuel said to Rav Anan, Leitza L'Braisa Mekami Masnisen. Right, so he said this line we said before, right? The Braisa is nothing compared to the Mishnah, meaning that he was worried about the sheet of Rav Yossi. Right, the Rav Yossi we had saw before, where they said, Rav Yossi seems to contradict himself in the Mishnah and the Braisa, and Shmuel also said that. He said, forget the Braisa. Follow the Mishnah, meaning the implication is they pass like Rav Yossi, actually. Even though it just says that Shmuel, so also by Jogan is also passing like Rav Yossi. Fine. Harkava Mali Amar Shmuel. And what's the Pesach and Abib when it comes to Harkava, when it comes to grafting, right? So Tashma, the Amale Shmuel, the Rav Anan, Tani Kemand the Amar Shlosho Shloshim. So you pass, and maybe you saw a number of cases there. How many days before Rosh Hashanah does the item have to catch? So he passes like the one who says 30 days and then 3 more days before Rosh Hashanah. If it catches by then, so then you're gonna be okay in terms of Shemitah. Okay, Koshi Ma'ali Amarav. When it comes to the other case, of the Koshi case, of the Nida Shaila, so then what's Rav going to say in that case? Take it, we don't know. We don't know exactly what Rav would say in such a case. Okay, Kiddush Ma'ali Amarav. And what about the case of Kiddush? What's Rav going to say again? Because Rav passed like Rav Yossi in the other cases, and Shmuel passed like Rav Yossi in these cases. What's Rav going to say? So Amar Rav Yosef, Tashma, the Amar Rav Huna Amarav, Ain Halach Rav Yossi. So we see Rav says with Farish that he doesn't pass like Rav Yossi. Right, that was specifically Shmuel held that way. So Amar Abaye, my chazit de samachta ha samacha ha the Amar Rav Ada Amar Rav halacha k'Rav Yossi. What do you mean? I have another case where Rav says you quoting me one place where Rav says halacha is not like Rav Yossi. I have another case where Rav says halacha is like Rav Yossi. So how do you know which way Rav held? So Amar Bei Rav Manu Rav Huna Amar ain halacha. So I said, well, Bei Rav is really Rav Huna. And Rav Huna said that the halacha is not like Rav Yossi. So, put that all together, it seems like Rav held not like Rav Yossi in the case of Kiddush. Okay, fine. So now we're up to the Rav Yehuda had said that a tumtum shenikra, right? You have a tumtum person who we don't know, right? What they are, male, female, and everything is covered up by membranes, by skin. So we don't know, you know, what he or she is. So what's the halacha? So he said that person doesn't do chalitza. Because maybe it's going to be, Rabbi Yehuda said, "Tumim shenikra v'nimsa zachar lo yachlos mipneshu kasaris." Right? They shouldn't. If they open things up and find out that really he's a man or has male genitalia, right? So then we say he still shouldn't do chalitza because he's like a saris, right? And a saris can't do chalitza anyways because the saris can't have children, for, you know, shame his brother. Fine. So says the Gemara as follows: I'm Rabbi Ami. My avid lay Rabbi Yehuda le tumtum de bire. What is Rabbi Yehuda going to do with it? Because Rabbi Yehuda basically said that all tumtums are sterile. So what's he going to do with the tumtum de bire? There was a tumtum in a place called bire. The osvua abe korse. They put him on the chair. They put him on some, you know, to do a surgery. V'ikra, and they opened him up. V'olid sheva banim, and he had 7 children afterwards. What are you going to say to that, Rabbi Yehuda? This is a refrain we've seen a number of times. He says, "Yeah, go find the birth certificate. You know, let's find the truth that really he had children with this woman. Meaning, but not just that birth certificate. Sorry, do some genealogical testing. Meaning, Rashi says, me'ayinheim. It's like 5 lines from the top from the skin lines top of the skin lines of Rashi. Me'ayinheim ishto zinsa. I'll tell you how he had children. He didn't. His wife was with somebody else. Okay, yikes. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer." Rabbi Yehuda said, and by the way, things like that, l'chora, just by the way, it's got to be a, you know, he's saying theoretical cases in a certain sense, or it's referred to some person, but like, it's not making that person's kids into mamzerim, because we've talked before about how careful they were not to declare someone else as a mamzerim, etc. Or, I mean, some said it's important. It's good for me to tell you your mom's there. It's better for you. But, you know, it's not like he was, like, attacking the children of this person. They knew them. They're walking along the street. Because that would be a problem from other sources that we have. But anyways, his point being, it's not true. It can't happen. Tan Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, Tumtum lo yachlots. Right? So we saw that Rabbi Yosef said to Rabbi Yehuda that Tumtum should not do chalitza. Shema yikra v'nimsa saris. Saris chama. Because maybe you're going to open him up and you're going to find out that he's a saris chama, meaning he's been a saris all along. And he's never going to be able to have children. So says Gemara, "Atu kol de mikareya zachar have." Meaning, what's the suffix? The suffix is maybe he's a saris chama, and then it's going to turn out that he wasn't allowed to do chalitza. What do you mean? Maybe you're going to open him up. You're going to find he's a female. It's a suffolk also, suffolk man, suffolk woman, and suffolk even he's even a man. Maybe he's a sari. So like the concern that maybe he's a sari chama is already, you know, that's not the only concern here. Meaning there's more reasons to assume that his chalitza is no good. Because maybe he's a woman also. If he's a woman, he definitely can't do chalitza. Meaning to somebody else. To a woman. So hachi no so hachi kamen, that's what it means. Shema yikra v'nimsa nekeva. Maybe she'll be a timsha, that's a woman, in which case he definitely can't do chalitza. V'afilu nimsa zachar, shema yimsa saris chama. You're right, okay, fine. So no, so it's a bigger, you know, one's a bigger suffix than the other. So my benayos, what's the difference? What's the difference in these two approaches? Meaning that the approach that says we're nervous, maybe he's not a zachar, maybe in the keva, etc. Or others saying no, you can't do chalitza because for sure a tumtum is going to be a right. The approach in our Mishnah was no, if he's a tumtum already, he's for sure a saris anyways. So nothing to talk about, right? So these are two different approaches. One is for sure he's a saris, and the other case is well maybe he's a zachar, and if he is, maybe he's a kevan, and maybe if he's a woman, then maybe he's going to be a saris. So what's the difference in those cases? What's the nafkamina? So Amar Rava, I'll tell you a couple of cases. Liv sol b'makom achin, v'lachlotz shalob b'makom achin, ikar b'nayim. So two cases. One is to pass him when there are other brothers around, or the case of chalitza when there's no brothers around. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shema Yikra v'yimsa nekeva, etc. So Rashi asks, my Yikra bain Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Yehuda la'avua. What's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda himself? What's the difference between those two opinions, like we mentioned before? So lif sol b'makom achin. So one case is to pass in the place where there are brothers, meaning, im yesh achin shleimim imo. Let's say he has full-fledged brothers. V'chalatz la tumtum, but the tumtum went ahead and did the chalitza. Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Shuk is Saris. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah who says he's Mamish Saris, no suffik, machzik lebesaris. He's a Kasaris. Vadai. Velo Pasla ala Achin Misyamnos. There are other brothers around, and this tumtum went and did chalitza. Oh, so she's a chalutza already. And he goes, no, according to Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, he did nothing. He's like a totally Pasla, right? And therefore she can go ahead and do Yivim with somebody else. Right, well, Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yossi, Shema Ketan, it's a suffix. Sveikahu, upasla ala achin, right? Then, in which case, she becomes forbidden to the other brothers, right? Vela, lav saris hava v'chalitzahi, right? And he's not really a saris, and it's not really a chalitza. Sorry, dilma lav saris hava v'chalitza, meaning maybe the chalitza was good. In which case, the other brothers would do a chalitza misafik in that case, right? Because it depends. Basically, are you viewing him as a saris vadai, or are you viewing him as a saris suffix? And with the second case, v'lachalot shalom b'machama. And what if there's no brothers and neither chalitza? Im ein sham elahu. Right, let's say it's only him. Rabbi Yehuda lo bay chalitza minei. Point to Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't do anything, right? The tumtum, because it's for sure not a bar chalitza. With Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda bay chalitza misafek. Right. So the point is, basically, point is, do we treat him as a safek or treat him as a vaday? Vaday not ra'i for chalitza or safek, whether it is. And it depends on the two cases. Okay. Amr Shmuel Bar Yehuda. So Amr Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amr Rabbi Abba Achuad Rabbi Yehuda Bar Zavde, Amr Rav. Amr Yehuda, Amr Rav. All this in the name of Rav. Androgynous Chayav and Alav Skila Mishne Mekomos. We've seen this concept before, right? That androgynous, he holds in the name of Rav is Chayav Skila, meaning things, illicit sexual activities that would go on with this individual. Whether they are using their male genitalia, they're the man in this case, or they're using their female genitalia and they're the female in the case, you get skila in either case. So there's mizana with the ish or whatever, or you know, something like that, or other you know, arayos that would be chayv skila if you're the man or the woman. So they you know, this person could be chayv in both directions. So Gemara says, "Meisave, wait a second, Rabbi Elazar Amar, androgynous chayav and alav skila kibizachar." Elazar says that androgynous is only chayav skila if he uses his male, right, from the male side. Medvar murim bezachar shalo, avav nakva shalo pater. It's only true if he uses his male side, but not his if it uses its female genitalia to do these isurim. They're going to be pater. So which one is it? So who the amra ki aitana desanya? So how do you understand this contradiction? No. So this opinion, this part, the second opinion, who the amra ki aitana desanya rebbe simai omer and drugging is chayav and love skila b'shtei makomos. Okay, it's fine. So the opinion that says both, that's like Rebbe Simai. My time is Rebbe Simai. Where does Rebbe Simai get this from? Amar Rava Bar Hamanduri Asperli. So he explained to me what was the explanation. Ve'es Zachar Lo Tishkav Mishkave Yisha. So this, that's the pasuk by homosexuality. So that the Zachar should not sleep with someone in a like a woman with women. Right, man with like the way a man would with a woman. Ezu zachar sheyesh bo shnei mishkavos. Right, mishkavei isha. Why the plural? Mishkavei isha. What does that mean? So that is who has two mishkavos. Havayomer is the androgynous. So you see that the pasuk is really referring to an androgynous. Okay, someone who has two ways to be shochev. So that's his. So meaning his argument is androgynous is included in mishnei mekomos from a pasuk. It's a drasha. Okay, if Rabbanan, what is Rabbanan going to say? Afagav de ispe shtei mishkavos es zachar ksiv. Meaning, yeah, yes, it's mishkavei, but nevertheless, we still call them es zachar. So what do you see? It's also referring to androgynous, but it's telling you that an androgynous who has two is only chayav for the zachar part. Okay, so Rabbanan zachar greida minalehu. Okay, so how do Rabbanan know that only the case of Zachar itself is Asar, right? Just being with the Zachar is Asar. Because the pasuk says, the Bach changes the language, the words a little bit. Mi ve'es isha. Mi ve'es isha. Okay? Because it adds the word ve'es isha. It doesn't have to say ve'es isha. Shalor kadarka minalehu. How do you know that shalor kadarka itself, right? Anal intercourse is forbidden. Because the pasuk says, me' isha. Because the pasuk says isha, again, didn't have to say mishkevei isha, just going to say mishkevei. The fact that it's mishkevei isha, so that comes to include shalok kedarka. Okay. Amar Rav Shizbi, Amar Rav, Amar Rav Chista, lo lakol Amar Rav Elazar, androgynous zachar me'ayuhu. Shim'ata omer kain b'mukdashin yikdash. So Rav Shizbi says in the name of Rav Chista, that Rav Elazar is not calling all androgynouses a zachar. Okay, why is that? Because if that was true, then in mukdashin, they would become Kadosh. What are we referring to? So here now we're talking about androgynous, an animal that's an androgynous, okay? And an animal that was you made it hektish, right? Does an animal that would be an androgynous, does it have a state status of being hektish? Look at Rashi. It's not Rashi, sorry. Continue the Gemara. I mean, nala and delok kiddish. How do I know? How do I know it's not true? What do you mean? So the Tanur Rabbanan, ha'nirva v'amuksa v'nevad v'esan u'mechir v'tumtum v'androgynous. These are all animals that had the following happen to him. That they were another animal, you know, had intercourse with it. It was made muksa. It was nevad. It was, you know, it did work. Esan, it was used as a payment for a harlot. Umachir, it was someone paid you for a payment for a dog with this animal. Or a case of tumf, those are all psulim for something to be used as a korban. But tumtum vandrogonus, and if the animal itself is a tumtum vandrogonus, mitamin begadim abes ablia. They mitami a person's clothing when abes ablia means in your throat, meaning if you eat it. Items that only if you eat them, you become tame. The point being, all these things become tame. You become tame if you eat them. Rabbi Elazar Omer, tumtum vandrogonus, in mitamin begadim abes ablia. He says, no, those two examples do not make you tame. Shai Rabbi Elazar Omer, komagam shenemar zachar unikeva atemotzi tumtum vandrogonus. In any case, when the pasuk says zachar unikeva, right? If let's say animals you bring as a korban, because sometimes it can be a man, male or female. So, okay, well, what's androgynous and tumtum? They're neither, right? When the pasuk says zachar unikeva, remove tumtum vandrogonus from b'nayim, right? Those are not included. Look, Rashi says atemotzi tumtum vandrogynous mibinayan. It says Rashi kiddashinan zachar vadai nekeva vadais. Right, when it says zachar nekeva, it's got to be a zachar vadai or nekeva vadais. It can't be something that's in the middle. The lo tumtum vandrogynous, right? Because they're in the middle. So what do you see? Because it says Rashi alma l'Rabbi Eliezer kolokachi. This is Rabbi Eliezer's point that you know the fact that something is a tumtum vandrogynous. Even Rabbi Eliezer, when he said you call the androgynous like a zachar l'chodavar. It can't be all the time, because when it comes to these animals that are androgynous, he doesn't consider them zachar. He says specifically, actually, they're not totally. Right? That's exactly his point. Back in the Gemara for a second, va'of ho v'nonemar bo zachar nekeva iya tamotzi tumtum v'androgynous. If you'd have an animal, a bird that was tumtum v'androgynous, so then you would not, then tumtum v'androgynous would be included in their cases, because again, it doesn't say zachar nekeva when it comes to birds, and so that's why in that case you would not exclude them. Fine. So we'll stop here. Sorry, I'm going to have to.